In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sainted Dr. Franzmann wrote, "Preach you the word and plant it home." We are in a place that is dedicated to that task. Some propose to be about that task. Some are already about that task and want to be better. Some profess and teach that task, and all support it. We are in a heritage of preachers, not only of 175 years, but more. Meyer and Nagel, Kemmerer, Steckhardt. We go back to Walther and Luther and Augustine and Chrysostom, Paul and Peter, our Lord, Hosea, Micah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, Noah. And there is something to admire about them all, but I must admit that I do not always envy their calls. Take Jeremiah. He was called to preach you the word and plant it home, to the city of God, Jerusalem, on a day when people would come in from all their towns. It was a holiday. And Jeremiah was called to preach there, and they said, "We would not hear it." Jeremiah's call was to say everything that the Lord had said, and he gave him that command, "Do not hold back a word." And so he preached, "If you will not walk in my ways, says the Lord, if you will not listen to me or my prophets who I have urgently sent, I will make this city desolate just like old Shiloh." Shiloh. That's where the priest Eli served and his sons. They were drunk. They slept with the women that came to the temple, to the tabernacle. And when the battle came against the Philistines, they took the ark out, and the ark was taken, and Shiloh was desolate of the Lord's presence. Oh, and God adds one more thing. "I will make this city a curse," which was to be a blessing. "Have a great holiday, everybody." Jeremiah went down to shake hands, and the board of elders came up and said, "You're going to die." And they called an emergency session of the voters' meeting. And everybody was there. He said, "Why did you preach thus?" And Jeremiah said, "It was in my call documents, preach you the word and plant it home to men who like it not." Now, what is the rest of the story? You'll have to read the rest of the chapter. Thanks to Dr. Burson, we don't get to hear it. Actually, there's 24 more chapters beyond it. But the rest of the story is you. You are that rest. Those that profess, those that are here to be better, those that are here to be someday. We are called to the courts of the Lord's house, to his people, to the congregation, on holidays and on regular days. We are called to speak all the words that the Lord has spoken. And we are called and commanded not to hold back one word. And the conclusion is the same. If they will not hearken, then God's house will be desolate, his presence removed, and he'll be treated as a curse. His blessings finished. Or perhaps they will turn, as the Lord said to Jeremiah. Now, why does the Lord act this way? He loves his people. He wants to bless his altars. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless his pulpits. His motivation for sending his word is one of love. "Hearken to me," he says. Urgently, he sends prophets and preachers. It may be that they will listen and turn back to him and leave the path of death for the path of life. Each word is important because he loves his people and he loves you. Our Lord, when he comes to his city and he looks at it, he weeps, for he would have gathered them through his prophets, as a hen gathers chicks under her wings, but they would not have it, and they would not recognize the day of their visitation. And the curses that would fall upon Jerusalem are the curses that would fall upon Jeremiah if he held back one word, and they are the curses that will fall upon you and your people if you hold back one word of the Lord. We have a heritage, and I did not say it was enviable. It is not enough to say, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." It is not enough to say, the temple, the temple, the temple, or pure doctrine, pure doctrine, pure doctrine, or we have the sacraments rightly administered, rightly administered, rightly administered. If we ignore the parts of Scripture we do not like, even if men like it not, call you a hater or a bigot or a fool or an idiot. For if you hold one word back, if we do not love enough to proclaim the full counsel of God in our pulpits, then our congregations and our seminaries and our synod will be desolate. Yes, it will even be a curse. Look at what comes out of seminaries and synods and congregations and pulpits that have abandoned the full word of God out in Christendom. They are a curse. But I know the temptation to hold back on the word is real. I know I have fallen in this myself. I know the fear of men. I know what Satan threatens. He threatens death. You will have no house over your head. Your children will be hungry. You will have no job. I know the tricks. How to hide in the lectionary. There are three lessons. I don't have to preach on that epistle. And so I stand here today in the heritage of Jeremiah, and I say to you, repent. I know you, not by name, but I know you because your flesh is conceived the same as mine in sin. Repent and hear the good news. Jeremiah will live, and so will you. Innocent blood was not shed in Jerusalem that day, but it was shed in Jerusalem. Our Lord did not hold back a word. Instead, the word became flesh, and in love he carried out his ministry and proclaimed fully what the Father told him to say. He did not hold back. And the result is they met him at the temple, and they called for his death, and they called the city leaders, and they would succeed. But he was Shiloh. Do you not know the prophecy? As the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. From Genesis. He was Shiloh. And because he, Christ, was Shiloh, he chose to become desolate. Abandoned for the sins of the people and the prophets and the preachers and Noah and Luther and Walther and Meyer and you. Even more, he became a curse, for cursed are those who are hung upon a tree. He did what we fail to do so often. The word made flesh held nothing back, not even his life. And by this, God relented of the disaster that he intended for them and for you. He rose. And our altars and our pulpits are blessed because of him. He did not hold back. And your fears and your failings in this sort of place are forgiven. You are forgiven. For our Lord did not hold back. Preach you the word, that full and glorious, incarnate, crucified, risen, and ascended word, and plant it home to men who like it or like it not. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.